Yes, indeed. It is Monday, 5:30 in the evening, August 24th, 8:24. Mamba Day. TBP's in the building. It's good to be back, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. And we would not be able to do the nonsense we do around here if not for you. And our supporters like North Rim Adventure Sports, offering bicycle sales and rentals, cycling apparel and equipment, and a bicycle service shop. North Rim Adventure Sports features Trek Bicycles USA and other brands at 178 East 2nd Street in downtown Chico and at northrimadventure.com. That's right, we got 4/5 of the squad in the building. It's about as good as it's going to get for us. It's good to be back in studio with you fellas. We got a lot of stuff to get to. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the world's greatest sports talk radio show starts right now.
So what are we talking about?
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
That's right, you heard the man. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Coming at you with another episode. It's good to be back. We have a ton of sports. My name is Drew Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, co-creator, partner in crime, my man, Derek Isumaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
We also got the one, the only, long snapper Lucan, John Lucan, in the building. What's goody?
What's going on?
And of course, Brad the Butcher, a.k.a. the Game Killer himself, a.k.a. not Fact Man Brad, because he'll tell you stories like Tyrannosaurus Rexes are making a comeback, but it is Statman Brad,
a.k.a. the hometown disappointment, a.k.a. Chico's redheaded stepchild. Yeah!
Yes.
Okay. If these nicknames, these AKAs are all going to be self-deprecating, I am here for it.
Oh, sir. I am about it.
Oh, man.
I'm about it.
It's one good thing he's got going for him right now.
No, that's what I really appreciate about Statman Brad. He really identified his strengths and, more importantly, his weaknesses, which really kind of helped you identify your role here on the show, which is our punching bag.
So, exactly.
Thank you, sir.
You know what? You're welcome.
Yeah, no.
Somebody has to be it, and apparently John's a little too soft for it, so I'll take the hits.
Whatever. As long as I'm not the punching bag, that's fine.
You're about to be last night, man.
Oh, boy. Wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong.
Oh, man. Like I said,
it's got to go down at some point.
Brad didn't want that smoke.
No, I didn't want his smoke. I was okay with you. I didn't want to deal with Derek.
We need to, we absolutely need to get some TBP boxing gloves and headwear.
Why gloves?
I mean, bare knuckle brawling. We're not barbaric over here.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, like, and like
if
we
it's
still.
A street fight, then still, it happens to happen, then fine.
Will you also record the show, please, Brad? That'd be great. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Well, let's rewind it and start this all over again.
All right, this is talking about practice. She goes a little. Oh, man. Like I said, sports are back. Guess who's Bizak Sports are? So we have a lot to cover. We are going to get into, what would you say? This is the biggest soccer match of the year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. This is the biggest sporting event.
Of the year. Yeah, worldwide.
Every year is the biggest sporting event.
So we're gonna cover the Champions League final. And the disappointment felt all through the room yesterday. We'll get to that. We have our foreign correspondent, Erin, joining us later in the show. She's going to give us a hockey and golf update. We got some stuff on Major League Baseball. We have to discuss the most hilariously awkward apology ever. We did it on the pod. But we got to bring it back for our terrestrial listeners because y'all have been down since day one. But first, we got to start with the NBA. Oops, I don't know where that came from. The playoffs have been insane. Insanely entertaining for the most part. Save a couple series. Obviously, that Celtics series wasn't much to talk about. We'll actually discuss it briefly here in a minute. But the playoffs have been insane. But I would be remiss if we started there. It is Mamba Monday, Mamba Day, according to Orange County. Orange County made today Kobe Bryant Day. And Kobe Bryant would have turned 42 yesterday. Now, anyone who's on social media and follows pretty much any sporting account or just people in general, we have been flooded with birthday wishes for Kobe. And just a litany of things reminding us of the greatness that was Kobe Bryant. I urge all of you to check out Allen Iverson's letter in the Players Tribune about his experience with Kobe Bryant. But there's just something different about Kobe, and I know obviously this is the year of his passing, tragically in the helicopter accident with his daughter Gigi. And several other parents and kids, teammates of Gigi's. But as we know, Derek, you are a monster Kobe fan. In a way, you kind of grew up with him.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, 100%. Guy has been... I've never watched a Laker game without him in the lineup. Well, obviously, now I have.
Yeah.
Since his retirement. But, yeah, my entire pretty much Laker fandom, he was the guy that was there. And he had just come around. So I was... Like I said, that 99 one was really like the first time I remember, like, I was really, we really got into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, from then on, it was nothing but Kobe Bryant in Los Angeles. I mean, you had, you know, Shaq was obviously a central figure, but that whole feud led it to become Kobe Town.
Yes.
And
yes,
it has still remained that way and will remain that way long after any Laker that comes and steps in that, into that court and wears that uniform. He is going to be... His death has probably made him surpass Magic Johnson in terms of popularity, in terms of reverence in Laker eyes.
And he already built up such a mythical status in Los Angeles.
It was already
1A, 1B with,
yes,
him and Magic. But I think he's revered in a way that Magic is not, because of the killer instinct, right?
No doubt. I mean, the thing is, no one could ever hate Magic. Magic,
yeah,
was such a nice dude.
Yes, yes, correct.
He has this great... I mean, the dude was great for the city as well.
Sure.
The guy has tons of businesses in inner city LA parts,
yes,
that have long been standing, you know? So he is somebody who has truly tried to help out his community and does.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic at it. But, and like I said, Kobe Bryant never really... Not to say he wasn't someone he'd give back to him, but he wasn't as present as Magic Johnson was. No doubt we loved him and revered him, but he had a certain aura about him.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like like the emperor, you know?
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh, you can't look him directly in the eye,
right,
or otherwise you'll turn to stone. But he had this certain myth about him, but then this kind of obvious... his later life, certainly, he softened up a lot. So that's, mm-hmm, when we really started as in the community, as LA, as Laker fans and Kobe fans, really got to see that side of him. And I think that really grew his popularity, his retirement, his post basketball life grew his popularity even more so. And now this is just like, yeah, he's Mr. Laker, and he is going to own that. I mean, they're going to name Figueroa Street, which is right next to Staples Center. Yeah. Part of it is going to be named Kobe Bryant Drive now. So.
That's awesome.
Kobe Bryant Boulevard. Excuse me.
Okay.
Good Boulevard. All right.
Well deserved as well. And you've spent a good amount of time down in the Los Angeles area since Kobe's passing during quarantine. And I know you've seen the murals. They're everywhere.
You
can't go anywhere.
People should stop doing the murals because you're not doing them justice because you're bad.
Okay. There's some that are awesome.
Amazing,
pieces of,
no doubt. Those ones keep it going. But everyone's trying to do a mural. It's like,
yeah.
You know, not just because you want to paint a mural, keep it to yourself right now. We don't need it, you know.
I love that you can be ever the contrarian, even on your favorite player who recently passed away.
I'm just saying, I don't need...
We've shown him enough love, y'all.
No.
If you're going to show him love, make sure you're doing it artistically, or don't do it at all right?
There's no depth to the shallowness that Derek has.
No.
No.
I love it. There's literally no depth that's so shallow.
Yeah. It's a wading pool.
You know, I've spoke about it on the show before. I grew up always admiring Kobe. He came into the draft in 96, which is... the year I really started playing basketball and falling in love with basketball as a wee lad. And
really? All right. Okay.
The thing about Kobe, you alluded to, is he did have this aura about him that he was just different. And Allen Iverson talks about in the Players Tribune, he has a quote where he says, the first time he came out to L.A. To play the Lakers, his rookie season, Kobe picks him up from the hotel after the game, and they go out to dinner, and they're catching up. And Kobe says, what's your plans after this, man? What are you going to get into? And AI tells him, what you mean, man? We're in L.A. I'm going to the club. What are you doing? Kobe responds, I'm getting back in the gym. And that's just who Kobe was. And I think, you know, that just tireless, relentless drive to be the best is really what separates him. I mean, obviously his game on the court was insane, but just his obsessive nature to win and be the best and be the greatest and come back from adversity. And there's so many legendary things that we saw on the court. Forget the scoring. Him not flinching when Matt Barnes put the ball in his face. Legendary. Him dislocating his finger, getting it popped back into place, and then immediately you could see him in agonizing pain, gets it put back in place, and right the second he walks back on the court, you couldn't tell anything happened to him. This dude tore his Achilles and came back and shot the free throws and walked off the court himself. As someone who's torn my Achilles, let me tell you, that is insane. That is a pain like no other. That is just absolutely insane. The guy is just a legend. And even though I rooted against him because I just saw him beat the hell out of my Warriors four times a year and was fortunate enough to see it one time courtside, and that's really when I realized how diverse Kobe was, watching him that up close and personal, how strong he was, his post-up game, and just the admiration that not only his teammates had for him, but the love that the opposing team, the Warriors at the time, was just showing him. I was fortunate to be in the building when him and Antoine Jamison both scored 50 points in a game. I believe that's still the only time two players have, on opposing teams have both scored 50 in a game. But as much as I wanted to hate on Kobe, it came from a place of admiration and fear and respect. So today being Kobe Day, I felt like that would be a good place to stay, start and get us into some playoff hoops. Because we got... Kobe, rest in peace. Happy birthday, rest in peace. Gigi, rest in peace. But the game is in good hands, Mamba. The game is in good hands. Because we got players like Luka Doncic doing what he did yesterday, which was crazy. And has been crazy. But seeing him do this in the playoffs now has been insane. Brad, give us some numbers on Luka, what he's done so far in the playoffs, just to kind of put things in some perspective.
So Luka right now, throughout the whole entire series, is shooting 51.8% field goal and 37.9% from the three-point range. And don't forget, he also had a triple-double last night.
That's correct.
What did he end with, 44?
Yeah.
Anyone know?
He also had a bum ankle, too, so, you know.
That's right.
Right.
I was texting you guys.
Porzingis.
43.
It was 43. 13 assists and 17 rebounds.
And no Chris Stapps.
Yeah, and I was telling you guys in the previous game that Luka was done. After I saw him roll his ankle, I was like, oh, that's a high ankle sprain. He's going to at least miss, you know, one or two games. He came back moments later. Wasn't very effective, but still came back showing that Mamba mentality. Came back to play and then balled out yesterday and hitting an absolutely dirty step back three at the buzzer to end the game against Kawhi and the Clippers, who I think are probably the most loaded team going in the West and probably best poised to make finals run. And the Mavs are giving them all they can handle, and we'll never know how game one would have turned out had Kristaps not got thrown out on a weak technical. But Luka is putting in work right now. And I've heard all the comparisons to Larry Bird, and let's just stop it right there. There's only the main reason y'all are doing that is because Luka's white, okay? Because his game is much more reminiscent, to me at least, of Magic Johnson. A big tall point guard who can handle the rock. Larry Bird played in the post oftentimes. He started as their power forward.
Yeah, he was many times their four.
Yeah,
many
and times. So he wasn't bringing the ball up. So when I hear all these comparisons to Bird, I'm like, I mean, I've watched a lot of Bird and Magic highlights, and he reminds me a lot more of Magic with a bit more of a jump shot.
Not to mention, he cannot hit the three like Bird can, so Bird...
No, Bird was a much better and more effective shooter. That's what... Their games don't really remind me of each other at all. Again, I think it's because it's like, who was the last really great white player? And it was like, well, Dirk, as far as, like, you know...
I mean, Dirk's more closely related to Larry Bird than...
Agreed, yes.
I was going to say, I mean, like, I feel like he's like a combination between AI and Dirk. Like, he's got the handles of AI, but he also has that tall, great jump shot of Dirk Nowitzki.
I think AI is a stretch just because the size difference, and AI was so much more explosive. I think his handle and his footwork is a bit more reminiscent of Chris Paul. Chris Paul does have some explosion, or used to, but his footwork is insane. Similar to Steve Nash. Steve Nash had the best footwork I've ever seen on the NBA floor from a perimeter player. But Luka, I mean, he's going crazy, and it's been so much fun to watch. This series has been awesome. We talked about it before the playoffs started, and we kind of identified this as the series to watch. And so now we're all knotted up 2-2. And so I want to start with you, Derek. I don't want to go too deep into prediction radio, but do you think that the Mavs are a legit shot? Do you think they could beat Kawhi and the Clips out of three games?
They've already proven that they can beat him twice, and they've done it pretty much, like I said, they did it yesterday without Kristaps in any way, shape, or form. So if you bring him back, that's a completely different dynamic. And I just, the way the Clippers are playing, well, the way Playoff P is playing, he is in prime form right now, and it's not good. I mean, there's some talks that that PG is suffering from his shoulder is still giving him some issues. And that's...
Yes, and we appreciate Playoff P making sure we all see him with the iced up shoulder after the game, okay?
I mean, yeah, he's got to make, no doubt. I mean, when you're shooting that bad, you got to make some type of excuse. Like, you're not just going to let
it's so weak.
You have to, like, their ego's got to let them do that. You know, they can't, you know? Yeah. It's just like that time when, like, that guy runs up to the court and just shooting bad. Oh, man, I always make those, you know? Like, you know, I'm better than that.
Yeah.
And, but sorry, Playoff P. You're just, he is shooting, like, I mean, there's no lights on in the gym right now, and he's shooting.
Yeah.
It's been rough. Do you have... you don't have Paul George's numbers.
I actually do. Okay. This series alone, he's shooting 28.98. I went an extra decimal just to maybe help him out a little bit. give him a little bit extra.
So you could have just rounded to 29%.
Exactly. I could have done that, but I didn't also want to give him that much
credit. You wanted to be petty.
Exactly. And three-point percentage is... 22.2 continuing percent.
Jesus.
It's not pretty.
Wow. Continuing. I like that you had it.
There's no end in sight.
There's no end. The bar, exactly.
You tapped out.
I appreciate the pettiness. Playoff P, not coming to play at all.
No.
It's been rough. But Kawhi, my God. It's been so much fun to just watch these two teams play. I have been so juiced off watching these playoffs, and the Warriors aren't even in it, but I've just had such, which actually makes it a little easier for me because I don't have like a real rooting interest. I have storylines I'm rooting for. I have different players I'm rooting for, but I don't have necessarily that one team that I'm going for. I mean, I'd like to see the Lakers, which is hard for me to say, but just because of Kobe, and Braun, obviously, but. Man, this has just been so much fun. Kawhi has been an absolute stone-cold killer. Clutch, just playing lockdown deep. But Rick Carlisle ran a hell of a play at the end of the game, sprung Luka, and, you know, he did his damage to end that series. So we'll see moving forward what happens. By this time next week, we will have a result, and we'll be able to discuss that. But he's not the only young guy in the league tearing it up right now. Donovan Mitchell... Jesus Christ, man. Like, Derek, you and I went and saw him his rookie season play live. And though we were in the nosebleeds, I basically just watched him every time he was on the floor. He didn't have a great game against the Kings when we saw him. But you and I were talking about it, just his instincts. He knew just as a rookie, he knew the defensive rotations, and he just has great instincts for the game and knows where to be. And now you're seeing him just ball out in clutch time. He scored 57 in the series opener. He scored another 50 last night. This series has been highly contested, highly entertaining. Jamal Murray coming through in the clutch again last night, too. Should have got that foul against Rudy Gobert. Didn't. But let's not sleep on Donovan Mitchell and what he's doing. You got his numbers up there, too, for me, Statman?
Yeah, I do. It's a heck of a lot better. He's actually shooting field goal percentage 56.3. Three-point percentage, 51.4.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's insane.
He is carrying this Utah team single-handedly right now.
Yeah.
He's got a nice support around him, no doubt. I mean, having Mike Conley back has definitely given him that presence around there, that veteran presence. Because this series is a bunch of youngsters going at it right now, I feel. These are two really young teams that don't really have that. I want to say, that veteran, that one dude. Mm-hmm. And Mike Conley is really the only guy that's.
Well, they have Joe Ingles as well.
He's Australian.
I mean, he's a good support, but he's not.
I wouldn't say he's like the
You can't rely on him to make it. Like,
Conley
make
has
game.
Been there when with the Memphis team that has gone against the Warriors when they had some amazing battles back then. So like Conley has he's tried and true at this point in time, and you can see him being out there is just that extra oomph that Utah needs. And now I would say I'm scared of Utah, but those unis that they're rocking, those yellow and red ones, disgusting. What are those?
Not doing it for you, huh?
No. Where did that even... I mean, it's
a sunset.
Okay, I get it. No. Like, have a legit Utah sunset on there. I'm fine with that. Like, maybe a little arch action from the arches, because it's Utah. I get it. But this is just... It just looks like a sun exploded.
I've never been a big fan of what the Jazz have going on with the jerseys.
They have some nice ones, I feel. They have some good classic ones. Those green and white ones that they do are clean.
Yeah,
those are clean.
Right.
This is just too much.
But the music note is the J on the Jazz. No, those are fire. The Pistol Pete ones are dank. Yeah, you can't deny that. But, man, this has just been – it's been a lot of fun. And seeing these young guys step up, you know, as LeBron is starting to approach the twilight of his career, obviously Carmelo Anthony, that whole Dwayne Wade's not even in the league anymore. That whole generation that came up after Allen Iverson and Kobe and that Steve Nash and Dirk, all these guys are starting to get a little long in the tooth now. But it's good to see these young dudes really stepping up. We got Giannis, Luka, Donovan Mitchell, just all these young players that are just out here balling. And it's just
not playoff P though.
Not playoff P. But Kawhi, I mean, it's just good to see that the league is in great hands and the competition. I don't know that the league's ever been this loaded. I mean, just look at the West, and this is with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson basically missing the entire season. You know what I mean? And the West is still this loaded. So, been a lot of fun. I'll tell you what wasn't a lot of fun, and we'll get back into some playoff basketball a little later in the show for sure, because we haven't even got to the Lakers and Blazers. Which is interesting for this show because we usually spend about 25 minutes discussing the Blazers at the top of the show. We haven't done that today.
Well, yeah, because they've proven themselves
to
be lacking in the department of wins.
Yes, correct.
So I didn't know where you were going to go with that.
That one took me a while to develop. I'm not going to lie.
I just kept the green. I
threw a dart. And I was like, let's see where this goes. And it worked out well. So
I felt like if I just kept saying yeah, you'd get to your point. And you got there.
I did. Yeah.
Their lack of wins. losing, but not winning. So we'll get back into
succeeding in life, but not winning on court.
All right.
There you go.
There it is.
They're still winning at life. I'm just saying they're better than me. They're all better off than I am.
Oh, well, speaking of being better off than us, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Foot and Mouth.
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out of a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot and Mouth.
I don't know how to start this one right now. It's tough because I don't know if I want to. Big day yesterday. Huge day yesterday.
Yeah.
Biggest day of the sporting world. That's right. The sporting world. Suck it, Super Bowl. You got no chance on this. The Champions League final. The pinnacle of the European club tour came to an end. Damn the Germans. My God. Why?
Ichabod Crane.
Whatever his name is from Pocahontas, the Mr. Butler dude for, I can't remember anyone's name in it. All I know is that Mel Gibson was in Pocahontas and always.
The moral of the story is we hate Mueller.
That's true, yes. Yeah. The Germans, down with the Germans. Bayern Munich, PSG, went at it. And actually probably a final that was spectacular to watch if you were a neutral. Heartbreaking if you're a Parisian. And thrilling if you're a Bayern fan. PSG.
Yeah, how was it if you're a PSG fan, Derek?
It was, again, so close. So PSG did not control the ball the way Bayern did. Bayern had dominated possession throughout the entire game. But the chances that PSG created were far more, were better and more exciting than what Bayern put out there. Bayern definitely had the ball in PSG's half pretty much the entire game, it felt like. But they never really had anything happening inside the box. Inside the 18-yard box, it just felt a little flat for them. Lewandowski was not in his form scoring goals in the back of the net, because the one that scored the goal was a Parisian himself in Kingsley Coman with the header. The only goal scored, 1-0. But Paris Saint-Germain, they had their chances. Two legit chances that Neuer, just he does what he does. Manuel Neuer, being 35 years old, is just a brick wall. I wonder if you call him the Berlin Wall, that would be bad. I don't think that's a good sign. Well, granted, he's not in Berlin. But if he was in Berlin, I wonder if he'd have the nickname, the Berlin Wall.
Well, the Berlin Wall fell, so that was not the best.
Well, it was there for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's been there for a long time. Granted, it doesn't hold, like, you know, the Berlin Wall is not something I think that people want to hold on to. It's like, yeah, that's what I want to be called, the Berlin Wall, because history does not end well on that side. Either way, enough of the history lesson. It was a tough game. Tough game, but as our TBP fan, our TBP crew was watching the game, we were all into it. Game that was back and forth, that had its moments of joy, moments of agonizing pain, though, for the most part. Mm. And an inability to finish, which is always tough. No, not
subtlety has always been your strength.
Yes, but I will say, the season's honestly, as pretty much the season comes to an end, it starts back up in like 2 weeks. It's crazy. Like, it's back at it again. Transfer season is in full effect right now. People are moving around left and right. Chelsea has completely reloaded. If you are a Chelsea fan, be excited this time. I'm not, because this is terrible. I do not want to. Chelsea has got themselves a front line that is going to be ripe. And my goodness, they're going to be scoring some goals. They got themselves Timo Werner. Hayek.
Whatever.
Berlin Wall.
It pretty much is, because they actually got them all from the Bundesliga. No, actually, I take it back. Two of them came from the Bundesliga. One German. But it's just fun. This is always a good time. The NBA, as we said before, has finally grasped on to the idea of giving these guys the star talent, and when they move, it means something. And in football, that's what's happening right now. Everyone's moving around. Teams are reloading. It's exciting because Champions League, utter defeat. The Germans, once again, Bayern Munich takes down their sixth Champions League trophy.
Wow.
Paris Saint-Germain, none. This is the first trip to the finals. Eesh. Nice showing, though. A nice showing.
They'll be back.
They missed so many opportunities, Derek. So many opportunities to tie that game up, man.
Yeah, it should have been. When you have the likes of Neymar, Kylian Mbappe, Angel Di Maria, and you have a guy by the name, why can't I think of his name? Right now? Wow,
great job.
Another well, dude.
Either way,
Mbappe and them boys.
They did not do what they needed to do, and they left some talent on the bench too that could have been brought in.
Yeah.
To actually score that goal. I still cannot remember his name right now.
Pavard?
No. Striker for Paris Saint-Germain that was left on the field. Icardi. Thank you, myself, for coming up with that. Mario Icardi sat on the bench the entire time. A world-class striker. I did not like the way Thomas Tuchel put up his team, the way he set it up. I thought he put his team in situations and positions that they're not used to. You saw Kylian Mbappe play in a way that looked a little awkward to him, a position that he doesn't normally play, which is always found weird. Why are you trying something new in a Champions League final? I get it. You're trying to find that perfect lineup, that perfect position for all your people to play. But just go out there and put your best players out there and play some goddamn football. You can't even do that right. So once again, PSG is hosed. But there's always next year, which starts in 2 weeks. So, foot and mouth. Just getting exciting now. That's football.
Thank you, sir.
That's football.
We're going to discuss a little more of yesterday's action here in a minute. But before we get to that, just want to remind you, this is Talking About Practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. The world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to my auntie Ariel out in Dallas. Shouts. We appreciate y'all rocking with us this evening. We also appreciate Pullin Cyclery. I'll pull up on Pullins any day. Pullin Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullins has been serving the Chico community since 1918, y'all. You can find them 801 Main Street in downtown Chico. You can also hit them up 342-1055. Shouts to our man and fellow radio DJ over there, Steve O'Brien, owner. We got love for him. We also got love for North Rim Adventure Sports and everyone who sponsors the show and helps keep the lights on around here. Appreciate y'all rocking with us. Like I said, talking about practice. Right here on FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. Listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Just want to remind you guys, we do have a podcast. It's fire. We have guests every week. We have a really good time. We can kind of let loose a little bit more on there than we can here. And by a little bit, a lot of it. So make sure wherever you're getting podcasts, we are pretty much, I mean, literally everywhere you can find a podcast, I'm pretty sure we're there. Just search Talking About Practice and you will find us. We put out pod 3 times a week, so go there. Check us out. We appreciate the love. We're also on Instagram, TBP, not a game. Follow us. We'll follow you back. We're on Instagram. We're streaming live right now. Woo-hoo! On Instagram Live. What up? You can check us out, see what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak, during the show. See us throwing things at each other and getting disappointed in Brad. Watching Brad crumble as he obviously has something on the line in this Heat and Pacers game right now.
Don't we all?
Yeah, actually. But again, follow us, TBP Not A Game. We just got some new t-shirts in, and my God, is the printing fire!
Wago.
Fire. I was excited about the last ones, but these ones are just awesome. So hit us up and get your shirt. They're cheap, they're $20. You know, great material.
Amazing material.
Yeah, the new girl.
The girls?
Oh my God.
Dear Lord.
I'm going to sleep in one. I don't think it'll fit.
But you know what? You know what? If you do, take a picture. That's going to look sexy.
I don't think anyone.
I don't think so either, but you know what?
It'd be embarrassing, and I will.
Yes.
Now we know Brad's innermost desire.
Yeah. Ignorance. speaking of innermost desires, I would desire to win at least one damn bet this year. If you haven't listened to the podcast, your play was on a bit of a cold streak. I picked some right games, but the games I've all picked to right have unfortunately been in a parlay. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some sports gambling with our man, long snapper Lucan, with Lucan to the Futures.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man?
Oh. That's right. I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, I was there trying to do what I meant. I didn't do it? Okay. All right.
We got so close this weekend, boys.
Yeah, we were right there.
So close in our practice parlay. 4 out of 5, but it's a parlay, so the name of the game is get them all right.
Perfection,
PSG.
Baby.
PSG.
They were right there.
Yeah.
It could have been. What could have been?
About foot and mouth. Man. Would have been a really nice payday.
It would have.
It would have been a great payday.
But me being me, you know, degenerate that I am, I reloaded right away. So what did I do? I took the under of the Raptors game. And they scored like 200 points collectively, so that was nice. Or they scored like 300 points collectively.
Yeah, they went off on that one.
Yeah. Rough. Yeah.
tough sledding. Brad has action going right now.
Yep.
With 25 seconds left in the game, Heat up 10. What do you have it at, 7?
I have a minus 7, yeah.
All right.
This is a nice little this is my last thing hit for a parlay.
You just don't want to see like a 3-point shot right here.
You know what? I don't care.
Actually, I would like to see a 3-point
shot. A 3-pointer would suck, but it would push, which is okay. I don't want that, but you know what? I just need a parlay win right now.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, help my soul out.
Are you only playing parlays?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
But this is kind of the big one right now.
Well, parlays are always the enticing, sexy bet because you put up
nothing little money and you win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Win tenfold. So, but
all for shitsies and giggles.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice.
Thank you.
But the real progress for you degenerates out there, I would say, is let's start taking some single games, straight up games, or keep it to two. Two team parlays can never go wrong. Once you hit the third game,
I mean, you can go wrong.
I mean, technically, yeah, I did last night with the Raptors under.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets plus 3.5. So all around, I'm just horrible. But I feel like this week we talked about it. We're going to do our practice parlay on Friday, as we usually do. But we're also going to be taking individuals because I'm sick and tired of losing, boys. And even when we go 4-for-5, you still feel that loser mentality, you know? If anything, you would have just been the loser.
Yeah, just me. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I would have felt lost anyway, so.
But after...
You would have felt like a loser no matter if you won.
Yeah.
After seeing the Mavs, though, I am jumping on this wagon. Their spreads, even Moneyline, because they're still around 220. Moneyline.
Good value.
Great value.
Really good.
And usually the spreads are right around between 5 and 7. Sometimes you can find it at 7.5, which every single game has been pretty close relatively. I think one game was, 11. The Rockets, or 9 was the first Rockets win, or excuse me, Clippers win, excuse me. But yeah, so be on the lookout for practice parlay on Friday when you get it out of the pod. And hopefully we'll come back as winners.
Like I just did. Let's go.
I will tell us what your parlay was.
How many games you take, Brad?
I took 4.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, I took a 4-team parlay. I went Bucks minus 13.
Wow.
Miami.
Won by 15.
Yeah, that was a scary one at work. Miami minus 7. Oh, goodness. I want to say Dallas and then one other team. I'm forgetting the other one right now, but...
You had Dallas last night?
Yes.
Okay.
That was another reason why I was kind of screaming, buddy, and yelling. I didn't want to jinx it, but...
At least one of us.
Yeah. That was a big hit right
figures,
there.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit's using eagles.
Yeah. It sucks that it's Brad, but...
I mean, for you, it does.
I mean, you made it...
Brad, maybe, you don't want this smoke.
You could probably have trained me up, you know, but...
I mean,
me into this. You didn't train me up, stop.
Yeah, no. I find joy in your victories because, you know, I taught you everything you know.
You taught me damn near nothing. I had to look it up myself.
My point exactly, Brad. Because if I would have taught you a lot of things...
Yeah, I would not have hit this.
He taught you how to fish.
Thank you.
I would have not have hit this if you taught me anything.
And then when he taught you how to fish, he's like, hey, man, you want to go to the water. And that's where you fish. That's how he taught you to fish.
I did not understand what you just said.
I just said he taught you how to fish by telling you, hey, the fish is in the water. And you find him. So I'm giving you credit.
You know what, Jero?
Great analogy.
Actually, you know what, Jero?
Somebody taught you how to fish while dog doing jack squat.
How's my fishing skills?
Mm.
Exactly.
You're new, though.
Like plus 300 to catch?
Oh, higher.
I would put it higher.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're looking like maybe plus 1,200, 1,500.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Yeah,
so
it's been bad.
We're going to get you on a fish, bud.
Don't worry. Okay, I appreciate that.
We still have several months. We're good. We'll get you.
Well, I mean, I hope I live more than several months. I got hopefully a few years of living and actually fishing.
So, sorry, you only have this year to get your fish. Then you can't do it
anymore.
Yeah,
I was going to say, if I don't, I'm
done.
Then
it's over. Then you have to retire. Forced retirement.
That is actually fair. I've been trying to fish since, what, June, July, something like that?
Yeah, we'll get you. I'm telling you. Don't worry about it. Well, I got the boat up and running now. We're good to go.
Sweet.
Are we good? Can we move on to the news now?
I mean, we can. Do you want to?
I would like to.
Let's go.
All right.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news.
News.
Now, I don't know how to start it off because I got a real good story to start. Real good story. Like, of all the stories I put out there, the ones that a lot of these guys on the show think that I'm pushing the boundaries and are going to get us kicked off, this one might be the one.
Oh, great.
It might be the one, y'all.
I was going to go get some water, but I'll stay.
No, this, I'm just going to say, all right, we got to do it. It's got to happen because this is too good of a story for me not to give y'all. Now, we're in a pandemic, as we all are aware. COVID is real. And people are not taking it that seriously. We all have masks here. But there's certain aspects of life that people still want to participate in that I feel during this time shouldn't be happening. But you know what? I'm not the one participating in them. Or, you know, but it's not my business, but at the same time, it is kind of my business because, you know, everyone's business is somehow my business, even though it's not my business. But this is someone's business right now that we need to figure out. So, we're over in Las Vegas where all the good things happen. And we're over at the Red Baron, a local Las Vegas strip club, where Miss Helen Bunny LeGrand,
Helen Bunny LeGrand,
performs a show there. A show that gets wet.
Oh my God.
And that wetness comes from her. She has a squirting show, guys. Now, unfortunately for her, she, before going on air and doing, not on air, on stage and performing her incredible talents, tested positive for COVID.
Oh.
Now, usually in this situation, she doesn't usually have any type of, no contact is ever made. But unfortunately, Miss Helen Bunny LeGrand was feeling extra wet today. And when certain things only go a few feet, this one went over 30 feet.
That's impressive.
Covering the whole floor, infecting over 18 people.
Like a vomit.
Jeez. There are people out there with some weird fetishes, y'all. If you want, if that's yours, go to the Red Baron in Las Vegas.
Note the time. Jarrell Gilbert stepped away from the microphone during this. I was not involved whatsoever.
So, shouts to Bunny.
I mean, I wouldn't shout out to her, but, you know.
She's trying to make a living, okay? I'm just saying, you know?
Sometimes she's going to be out.
Let the dam go open and let the flood out.
She's
going to
be out 14 days, so. Hopefully unemployment hits.
All right. Now we end with the good stuff. Now, let's go this one. This is a nice, nice candy-coated, literally candy-coated story right here. Now, we all know that Switzerland is known for their chocolates. The Swiss chocolate is mighty fine. Now, residents of a small Swiss town are actually experiencing the bad side effects of what happens when you live near a candy factory. Apparently, there is a ventilation leak, a defect in the cooling ventilation for a line of the roasted cocoa nibs. So what happened is all that boosted cocoa nibs got unleashed into the air and covered the entire town in a fine dust of cocoa powder. Now, that might be actually, I don't know, I feel like it's better to have cocoa powder than ash falling on you, right? Yeah. A tasty treat for you to come outside to, you know? Now, obviously, this is not a good thing to have right now. Probably pretty damaging to cars, too. The chocolate, the sugar, not good for you. So, they obviously fixed it all. And they're still in the process of cleaning up the town. Because it honestly looks like just an entire layer of ash is covering the town from the photos I've seen. So, if you're a big fan of chocolate and want to see it rain chocolate, go to Switzerland. You might get a chance. A little Charlie and Chocolate Factory action right there, you know? I'm sorry, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Thank you.
Charlie and Chocolate Factory is a godforsaken sin that came out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Shouts to Gene Wilder.
Hated that movie.
R.I.P.
Which
Willy
one?
Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Gene Wilder?
Is, oh, my
Hated
God.
It.
Oh, my God.
What?
As a kid, freaks you out a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Freaks you out. But
because he's a serial killer of children? Yeah.
And as an adult, it's fantastic
to watch.
Well,
that's how
the
book was written.
Yeah, I don't like the movie at all.
It's a fantastic movie.
It's a great movie.
I also don't like Titanic and Forrest Gump, so.
Well, you sound like Baruka.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's Baruka?
The Baruka Salt?
Baruka Salt.
The one that turns into the big purple She's blueberry? The,
what? No, what? Gosh, no. That's Violet Beauregard.
Oh. Yeah.
Baruka, she gets on the.
Isn't it Veruca?
Oh, wait, that was the.
Veruca?
Veruca, yeah. Oh. Mm. Veruca Salt.
And she goes down like the. She's a bad egg and she goes down the egg chute.
Because she wanted a golden egg, Daddy. Yeah.
Like I said, I hated that movie, so I tried not to watch it.
I mean, and let's face it, in Willy Wonka and Chocolate, like, Charlie's a little, you know, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. You know, like, he's a little punk B, dog. Yeah, like, I never liked Charlie. Yeah,
Charlie's a little weird. I mean,
and his gramps? Yeah, oh, give me a break with that guy.
We talked about that. His gramps is a terrible human
being. All of a sudden, Charlie's out here doing hustling for him, and all of a sudden he can walk?
I will say, I got
he was bedridden, and all of a sudden, let's go to the chocolate factory. I don't work or help provide for you because I'm just laying in bed because I'm too sick to move until you want a golden ticket, and I'm like, oh, let's ride out.
So,
I hate that movie.
I loved it. Great teaching moment to not be a Dick Cheney.
Yeah, that's fair.
What do you get? Oompa, loompa. Do buddy, do come on, y'all. It's classic. All right, a sing along for all the kids.
I feel like we have a better Isamaki.
Candy
for
is
us.
Dandy, yeah, but liquor is quicker. Right?
Let's get to the other Isamaki. I think you've had enough time on the microphone, sir. Let's bring in our foreign correspondent. She always brings it. Is typically the best part of our show each and every week. Erin Isamaki is with us
now. How's it going, guys?
What is going on? Good to have you back, Erin, as always. We're going to discuss some golf, but first, let's discuss some hockey.
Fuck yeah!
And, Erin, would you mind updating the people and us what's going on with the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs right now?
Yeah, we've got the semi-conference finals going on right now. The Islanders are actually playing the Phillies. And the Islanders are up 2-0 in game one. Now, New York did sweep Flyers in three games during the regular season. So I'm taking New York in this matchup because New York also beat the Capitals, I believe, in five games. So Philadelphia might be hot, but I'm going to say New York is hotter. We've got Tampa Bay playing Boston right now. Boston did take game one, and they looked pretty good coming into the bubble, but Tampa Bay did win 3 of 4 in the regular season matchups. I'm going to take Tampa Bay on that one because they really did crumble last year, and that was sort of heartbreaking to watch. I'm hoping they redeem themselves.
Yeah, we'll see because they lost that 1-8 matchup last year, right?
Yeah, they lost in four. They were swept in the first round.
And did they have, like, a historic season last year, too?
Yeah, they think they won, like, the most games ever and then just totally disintegrated in the playoffs.
Well,
pretty heartbreaking. Vegas is playing the Vancouver Canucks, and Vegas took game one. I would say that Vegas is potentially the hottest team in the bubble. They did split the regular season with Vancouver, but I definitely have Vegas in this one. They won all of their games in their round robin, so they're looking pretty good. And then, last but not least, my team, the Colorado Avalanche. They did lose game one, but, you know, I don't think it's time to worry yet. It's the first game. They were a little nervous. Maybe Dallas isn't going to get it all together. The only downside is they did lose their goalie, so we might be hurting in a few hours.
I feel like that's a pretty crucial piece to be out with.
Thanks, Joe Buck.
Yeah, thank you for adding extra.
The goalie's important.
Pain to my heart.
Yeah, way to come in strong with that opinion.
You're welcome.
Wow.
I do it again.
Wow. You know what makes a good football team? Having a good quarterback. Great. Really helpful. Let's move into something that John might know a little bit more about.
Well, I mean, Not really.
Well, let's talk some golf. I know Dustin Johnson did something absolutely ridiculous this past weekend. So why don't you fill in our audience on what exactly took place this weekend, Aaron?
Dustin Johnson shot a 30 under to win the weekend.
Stupid.
The second guy shot a 19 under. He won by 11 shots.
Yeah.
We were watching yesterday, and I was like, oh, this must be some sort of combined score, like, with another weekend? Like, how do you shoot 30 under?
It was ridiculous.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Paulina must have been something good for him that before that tournament started. I'm just saying.
He hit 65 of 72 greens.
My God.
Unfathomable.
Mike, that is ridiculous.
And he can't do it in a major.
Dustin Johnson on fire.
The classic Stu.
I think even crazier too is that he did greens in regulation, but he only was, I think, 50% hitting the fairway. So a lot of those shots were coming from the rough or from out of the fairway. So to be able to, like, reapproach and be able to, you know, save your shots is even more astonishing.
Yeah, he really pulled his game together. I mean, and he's on fire. He got he tied for second at the PGA Championship 2 weekends ago. He's already had a win since the quarantine has kind of ended. So Dustin Johnson is on fire. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Masters.
Ever since Brooks Koepka talked some smack on him, he's just been playing lights out.
Yeah. What do we have coming up in PGA, Aaron?
So this is round one of the FedEx Cup, and the way it works is only the top 70 get to play next weekend at the BMW in Chicago. Somehow Tiger made the cut. I'm not really sure
somehow
how that happened.
Laying on his back.
Because he's Tiger Woods,
I guess. Yeah.
Sure.
So next week we've got top 70 in Chicago, and then the week after that will be the FedEx Tour Championship at East Lake in Atlanta. So good golf coming up. Good golf.
So, Aaron, after next weekend, is there any more cuts, or is it still going to be the 70 going into the championship?
No, going into Atlanta, it's only top 30, so no way Tiger makes it.
You hear that, John?
No,
you hear that?
I'd put
no
money
way
on that.
Oh, you would put money on it, huh? How much?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I thought we don't discuss dollar amounts on air.
This is
don't
all for
entertainment purposes.
Shih Tzus and giggles.
Yeah. Shih Tzus and giggles. All right, Aaron, we appreciate the information. You came strong with it, as you always do, and we will chat with you next Monday. Thank you.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, later. Always fun having Aaron on. She always brings the heat, that hot, hot fire. So thank you to Aaron. But let's move on. We don't have much time. And I know we've discussed this on the pod, boys. But I think we owe it to our audience who listens to us live each and every week to rehash the Tom Brenneman story. Now, if you haven't heard what happened with Tom Brenneman, Tom Brenneman is son of Marty Brenneman, longtime legendary broadcaster for the Cincinnati Reds. So Tom Brenneman is a Cincinnati Reds play-by-play announcer and also covers NFL for Fox, or used to, until he had a little slip-up in front of a hot microphone where he said the following.
The capitals of the world.
And that, ladies and gentlemen,
is how you lose your job.
Well, he's only been removed from Cincinnati Reds play-by-play. He has not been fired yet. And he has been suspended for the entire season from the NFL, but not been fired yet. Now,
he's got a classic voice, too. I actually like his voice.
Oh,
like,
he's got a great voice.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
There's no denying that. So once again,
like, you can't lose the good ones right now, man. Come on, y'all.
So during the pregame, he got caught slipping and threw out a homophobic slur.
Capitals of the world.
Without knowing the microphone is hot. And one, this is inexcusable because you just shouldn't be talking like that at work, period. You really shouldn't.
Or just in general in life?
In general, yeah, you shouldn't be using homophobic slurs. I'm not a big person to say what you can and can't say in your own personal life. But if you're at work, that is not appropriate ever. And the first thing they teach you in broadcasting school is the mic is always hot. So as soon as you're around a microphone, understand that anything you are saying, there is a potential it goes out over air. So watch your mouth. It's not that hard. But that, after saying the bleep capital of the world, I'll let you hear it again just because his delivery is offensive, but also comedically hilarious.
One of the f***ing capitals of the world.
He's talking about Kansas City too, guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, we want
to just to put it in context. Yeah. And then he decided to apologize during the broadcast, and I will let you hear the apology. And you guys tell me if you can hear when it gets a little bit awkward.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
That was
and
it,
so
by the way.
That'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Nope.
I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds.
Nope.
I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people.
So you hear he mentioned his bosses at Fox, the Cincinnati Reds, and you might notice what he missed mentioning was the actual people he used the slur against. Nowhere did he say, I apologize to the LGBTQ community. Do I apologize to homosexuals, gay people? He just said, hey, bosses, I'm so sorry. Please don't fire me. That's not who I am. I'm a man of faith, which...
Ugh.
Get out of here. What,
though? He doesn't even say... He just says a man of faith, okay?
What does that
even
mean?
I've got faith. Like, you know, I got faith that every single time I'm going to come up, the sun will be up there every morning, okay?
Yep.
I got that faith.
Yeah. If I wake up, I'm pretty sure the sun came up today.
I got faith that there's still gravity around.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's still here. It's still here. It was ridiculous. It's just, I mean, for him to come out and to put the sanctity of baseball... And to make sure he gets the home run call right in the middle of his apology. And to miss the most important part of the apology, which is to actually apologize to the people who would be offended by this.
In Kansas City, too. Like, that's Kansas City.
They're not even top 10.
How dare you?
Oh, God.
That's libel right there.
It was just a joke. And, to have Curt Schilling come to the aid of Tom Brenneman should tell you just about everything you need to know about this whole situation.
Dude, I love Curt Schilling. I'm sorry. Curt Schilling is the man. He's
I hate him so much.
He's hilarious.
He says ridiculous
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Yeah. He's amazing.
I wouldn't
we
say
don't
want to.
We don't, like, yes, acknowledge what they're saying, but, like, it just, you know, you don't take it so seriously. I can keep someone saying crazy stuff in a corner and enjoy it every once in a while. Like, keep talking, Kurt. I'm going to ignore you at times, but you keep saying it's something that catches my eye. Like, ah, thank you, Kurt, for that one moment in time I needed.
And then turn him back to the corner.
Yeah, and then just keep him in the corner. Like, no need. Like, we can make social pariahs out of people without, you know, making them shut up.
I mean, that's fair.
I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done it to religion, in particular Christianity.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
So, yeah, I'm just saying. Keep doing your thing. I'm going to laugh at you when I want to, but yeah.
Just to be clear, you don't necessarily agree with much.
No, I'm just saying I like him for the funny stuff he says.
For him being ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And everything he says, I believe with it wholeheartedly. I have no idea what he said, actually. I just know that I take it back. There's some things that, yes, of course. No.
So I said we'd get back
in the playoff. I'm stopping now.
I said we'd get back into playoff basketball. We won't, at least not right here. But we will if you check out the TVP pod. Download our pod, subscribe to our pod, then unsubscribe, and then subscribe again. We need the numbers. We are growing. We are actually a business now.
Woo-hoo!
Started from the bottom.
Now we're here.
We're still kind of at the bottom, but we're working on not being at the bottom, and you